Welcome to This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for November the 21st to the 27th, 2009. Israel announced this week it would halt construction works in illegal settlements for a period of 10 months, while military attacks on Gaza and the West Bank left 4 dead and 6 injured. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent activities in the West Bank. The villagers of Bilayn's central West Bank, along with their international and Israeli supporters, conducted their weekly protest on Friday. Under the slogan, "Towards a Palestine free from settlements, the wall, apartheid roads, checkpoints and roadblocks, and for one united Palestine with no islands and cantons," the protesters marched from Bilayn towards the Israeli wall being built on villagers' lands. When the demonstration reached the razor wire put in place by Israeli soldiers to block the protesters, the Israeli army announced a closed military zone, but the protest kept moving towards the gate. The Israeli soldiers then fired tear gas canisters and stun grenades, and dozens suffered tear gas inhalation. Also on Friday in the central West Bank, the villagers of Nilayn, along with their international supporters, staged their weekly protest against the Israeli wall. Villagers and their international supporters conducted midday prayers at the villagers' lands where Israel is building the wall. After the prayers, people marched closer to the wall. Israeli troops stationed there fired tear gas at the protesters. Dozens suffered from the effects of tear gas inhalation and were treated locally. Israel announced this week it would halt construction works in illegal settlements for a period of 10 months to give a chance for peace talks. Meanwhile, the ruling Hamas party in Gaza rejected the notion of a provisional Palestinian statehood. IMEMC's Ghassan Banoura has the story.
The Palestinian Authority in Ramallah downplayed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's announcement of the halt of construction of illegal settlements in occupied Palestinian territories. The temporary freeze on construction will not include settlements inside Jerusalem City or 3,000 homes under construction in current West Bank settlements. This has prompted criticism from the Palestinian government. Minister Isa Karaka said the Palestinians demand a total freeze.
This announcement is deceptive and just for show. The Palestinian position is clear. We refuse to negotiate while settlements continue to exist. Furthermore, what does this freeze really signify? I think it's meant to drive us back negotiations without reaching an agreement on ending the conflict.
Top Palestinian negotiator Saber Erekat said the halt of Israeli settlement activities remains a request for resumption of Israeli-Palestinian peace talks according to the Washington-backed roadmap to peace blueprint of 2003. There are 470,000 Israeli settlers living in settlements covering 40% of the West Bank, including Jerusalem. According to international law, all Israeli settlements on occupied Palestinian land are illegal. Peace talks have been stalled since the November 2007 peace conference in Annapolis in the United States due to Israel's insistence of keeping up settlement construction, an action the Palestinian Authority has rejected utterly. Meanwhile, Palestinian Prime Minister of the ruling Hamas party in Gaza, Ismail Haniyeh, objected to the option of a provisional Palestinian statehood, reiterating his party's position that a Palestinian state should be declared on lands Israel occupied in 1967, including the Gaza Strip, the West Bank and East Jerusalem. In other news, Israel and Hamas have yet to agree on a German-brokered prisoner swap deal, as both sides have not reached a compromise on the number of Palestinian prisoners who should be swapped for captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. On another issue, the rival Hamas and Fatah parties have not yet reached a national unity agreement despite prolonged Egyptian-mediated talks. Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas was quoted this week as saying that his party is willing to deal with Fatah once the last Egyptian presented paper for conciliation is modified. Hamas insists that any deal on national unity government should preserve Palestinian resistance factions' right to resist. For IMEMC.org, this is Ghassan Banoura.
On Thursday this week in the Gaza Strip, Palestinian resistance fighters fired 5 homemade shells in the Negev region, southern Israel. Israeli sources reported that the shells landed in an open area, causing no damage or injuries. On Saturday, the ruling Hamas party in Gaza announced that they have reached an agreement with other groups to stop the firing of homemade shells. In response, Israel bombarded Gaza City and areas close to the southern borders with Egypt. The bombing left 6 Palestinians injured. Meanwhile, 2 fighters were killed in an explosion in Gaza City. Hamas said that the 2 fighters were killed during a mission and gave no further details. Many Islamic nations around the world celebrated this week the Festival of Sacrifice, or Eid al-Adha. As part of this religious holiday, families sacrifice their best cow or sheep. But in the Gaza Strip, thousands cannot celebrate the holiday due to the Israeli blockade. From Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Maryari has the story.
For the past 3 years, Dawood Ahmed, a father of 10 children, hasn't been able to mark the yearly Islamic holiday of Eid al-Adha. Ahmed used to be a construction worker, but he lost his job in 2007 after Israeli closed border crossings into the Gaza Strip.
I am psychologically torn apart. I am experiencing a lot of pressure because I cannot afford to buy my children a sheep for Eid al-Adha. And my children don't understand my inability to buy a sheep, which is an Islamic duty that every adult needs to do.
Another aspect of the Eid al-Adha is the exchange of gifts or offering sweets and candy to guests. But even such small things are unaffordable for Dawood's family. Nadia Al-Ustaz is Dawood's wife.
This is a miserable situation for all. There is no cooking gas, no work and so forth. In general, any wife wishes that her husband brings her a present for a holiday, but the situation is untenable. I think bringing something home like food is better than a gift. Despite all of this, I thank God and I'm bearing with the situation.
In the streets of Gaza, there are some shops and vendors who offer sheep for the holiday. But under the current economic conditions in Gaza, many don't have the means to purchase an animal. Marwan Abu Middin has been a sheep vendor here for 10 years.
The sheep are relatively cheap, but the customers are few, apparently because of a shortage of cash in the country. 4 or 5 years ago, all used to have jobs in cash. I used to sell 50 sheep a day, but now I can hardly sell 2 or 3 sheep.
For those who cannot afford a sheep, buying some meat could be a cheaper option. But even meat is limited in Gaza due to the Israeli blockade, so prices are high. Ati Al-Shawa has been a butcher in Gaza City for the past 20 years. Al-Shawa says that before the blockade, he used to sell at least more than 400 pounds of meat a day, but now he sells less than 100 pounds.
The situation is totally different, and as you see, the people's conditions are worse, either because of the blockade or the war, and many other reasons. In general, people can't meet their needs. They don't have either work or income. Also, goods have become expensive, and no one seems self-sufficient.
The Gaza-based Ministry of Agriculture says that for the first time since the blockade was imposed, Israel recently allowed about 7,000 cows into the strip. But Israel still prevents the entry of sheep into the region. Prior to the blockade, Gaza used to import between 30,000 to 40,000 sheep from European countries for competitive prices, according to the ministry. Dr. Ibrahim Al-Kadra is Assistant Deputy Minister of Agriculture in Gaza.
What the occupation did was merely for media propaganda, as we actually need at least 15,000 cows and 20,000 sheep for the Eid day itself. Therefore, we consider 4,000, 4,500, or 5,000 cows inadequate. 70% of them have already been consumed. In days before or after the Eid, we actually need 400 cows on a daily basis.
According to United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, more than 80% of Gaza's 1.5 million residents depend mainly on UNRWA-provided food aid. In June 2007, Israel imposed a closure of Gaza's commercial crossings, and since then, Israeli authorities decide when and for how long the crossings will open and which goods will go through. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
The This week, the Israeli military conducted at least 20 incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. Israeli forces kidnapped 19 civilians, including 3 children. I am EMC's George Rishmawi has the story.
A Palestinian man was shot and killed on Thursday evening by an Israeli soldier after he stabbed 2 Israeli settlers in the southern West Bank. Media sources said the attack took place at the entrance of the illegal settlement of Kiryat Arba near Hebron. Witnesses told Reuters that the man arrived in a taxi to a gas station at the entrance of the settlement. The man then stabbed 2 settlers, a man and a woman, running a kiosk inside the gas station, causing them light wounds. An off-duty soldier present at the scene opened fire at the Palestinian man, killing him at the site. Also on Thursday, Israeli settlers took over 10 acres of land owned by Palestinian farmers from Yenoun village, northern West Bank. Villagers said settlers invaded the village and took over the land and started to work on it using machinery they brought with them. The farmers attempted to stop the invading settlers, resulting in a short quarrel, but no injuries were reported in both sides. The villagers said the settlers are from the nearby illegal settlement of Gadonim. Israeli military and police forces attacked on Wednesday afternoon the village of Tuani, southern West Bank. Around 50 soldiers and police officers surrounded the village, declaring it a closed military zone. Troops then started to remove pylons, provided Tuani with electricity. Members of the human rights group, Christian Peacemaker teams who were at the scene, told IMEMC that the military attacked villagers and human rights workers when they tried to stop the troops from dismantling electricity pylons. The military said the pylons providing Tuani with electricity were installed without army's approval. Since this village is located in Zone C, an area under total Israeli control according to the Oslo Accords, villagers applied to Israeli authorities to install these pylons, however they refused, giving no explanation. The villagers subsequently installed the pylons at their own expense. In Jerusalem, where the de-Arabization process of the city continues, 25 Palestinian families living near Jerusalem City received on Monday eviction orders from the Israeli military. Local sources said the eviction orders were handed out to residents of Semiramis, a neighborhood of Jerusalem. This area has always been part of Jerusalem, however recently it was separated from Jerusalem by the Israeli wall. Residents said the soldiers arrived together with Israeli settlers and told the residents that the land where the houses are located is owned by the settlers and they have to evict their homes. The Palestinian homeowners affirmed that they have purchased their land long time ago from its previous Palestinian owners and constructed their homes on it. For IMEMC.org, this is George Shmawi.
And that's just some of the news from This Week in Palestine. For regular updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This week's report has been brought to you by Abhin Flores.